I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Yeah, and we're not trying to go drink champs 2 hours, but let's move forward. Mm-hmm. We already did this the last time, and yeah, we kind of disrespected the Timberwolves a little bit, but you know, I threw it out there like, look, you never know, maybe the Timberwolves win 4 straight, but they didn't, and it was the Mavs. So we'll do an official NBA Finals preview. I do want to do predictions last. Let's talk about key role players. I mean, we know everybody talks about the principal two stars and two stars, right? Everybody talks about, oh, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Luka and Kyrie. And it's like, man, there are so many other people on the floor. Who do you think are the key role players in this series?
Well, I think that's going to be, you know, whatever key like role players are better, that team's going to win the NBA finals. Like, if your guys can step up, because obviously, you know what Luka, you know what Kyrie's going to do, you know what Jason Tatum's going to do. Sometimes he kind of disappears, but you know what Jaylen Brown's going to do. But if your guys can step up, so like, you know, on the Celtics, if Derek White can continue to have the playoff series he's having, he's been tremendous. You know, them getting Kristaps Porzingis back, if he's healthy and able to provide what he's been providing throughout the season, you know, you have guys like, I think Peyton Pritchard's been really good in moments. You know, you have Al Horford, I think, who's also been really good as well. He would probably move to the bench and come off the bench, you know, if Kristaps is back. But then, you know, kind of reverse, like if you, with the Mavericks, like if you have, you know, PJ Washington doing what he's doing, been doing, if you have Daniel Gafford, who's been doing what he's doing, Derek Lively, Derek Jones Jr., if you have guys like that, who can step up kind of like they've been stepping up, it's going to come down to whichever role players step up the most is going to win the NBA Finals. So it's absolutely going to be interesting because I think they both have similar like aspects in terms of like kind of like a 1-2 punch. But I think, you know, and then same with like their role players as well. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see, you know, what role players step up for the entire series.
But before we move on, BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think when one role player really just steps up, like you said, Liz, it does make a huge difference for a team, because sometimes the stars start like missing shots and no one can make anything, and then it's a role player who hits a shot and like gets the team going. And for the Celtics, I think that would be Drew Holiday. I feel like he made such a huge impact on the Pacers. And yes, the Pacers are injured, blah, blah, blah. But I think his defense was such a difference in that series that the game opened up for his teammates to hit shots and everything. And then I think on the Mavs, players like lively and like just continuing to hit shots. Because look, Luka and Kyrie, I guarantee you there's going to probably be blitzes or double teams cornering. So you're just going to have to hit your wide open shots, like Tim Hardaway, all that. So it's just like you need to understand, hey, the star players are obviously the main focus on defense. So if you're wide open, you need to hit those shots. You need to make the right plays in moments like that, because that's what wins you championships.
Yeah, too. The thing with like the Celtics, I think that's kind of like underestimated with them is like defensively, they can actually switch a lot and not have issues because they do have such length, especially in that starting five. So it's going to be very interesting, like what their defensive scheme is going to be from the get-go, you know, to start the finals. And then obviously if they make those adjustments and things like that, you know, because that's how it works. Adjustments are always going to be made from game to game. But it's going to be very interesting. But yeah, good point about, I forgot about Drew Holiday. I think, you know, obviously he's won an NBA championship, so he already brings that aspect to it. But just the capability that he has of scoring, he has had many good games in the NBA just in a scoring aspect. But what he brings defensively, like, yes, he's a smaller guard, but he can still switch and defend bigger players. I've seen him do it, and he can absolutely kind of stick with those guys. So yeah, he's another key piece, I think, for the Celtics as well. If he can continue to kind of have a good playoff series like he's been having, especially on the defensive end, because in that game that he, you know, kind of sealed it for the Celtics against the Pacers when he, you know, stole the ball from, I think it was Andrew Nembhard, because Andrew Nembhard, I think, was cooking that game. He was absolutely having a great game, and he got that defensive stop. So yeah, he's definitely another key piece for the Celtics as well.
Yeah, if anything, they have like a big four to Dallas's big two. Drew Holiday, Derek White. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I was looking up just hustle stats and on defense, not on defense, just hustle stats in general. And for Dallas, PJ Washington is the only person who averaged three deflections in their conference finals. Luka was a close second with 2.6. On Boston's end, they have three players that average more than three deflections. And Derek White, Jaylen Brown, and Drew Holiday. Like you said earlier, I think the switchability of Boston's defense is going to give Dallas fits. I think it'll be interesting to see what Jason Kidd and company do and counter that. So that should be interesting. Who do you guys think will be the breakout star? And I'm, you know, we all know about the main people, but who are the breakout stars?
I mean, for Dallas, obviously, outside of Luka and Kyrie, I think it's going to come down to, I think if PJ Washington can have a really great finals, I think the Mavs, you know, could obviously, both teams, I think, bring different things to the table, but I think would obviously have a chance. And then for the Celtics, I think Jaylen Brown has been like exceptional throughout these playoffs. I think he's performed better than Jason Tatum. So I think if Jason Tatum can absolutely step up and kind of show that he's capable in this kind of moment, because when they were in the finals a couple years ago against the Warriors, he was not good at all. Like he had maybe like one or two good games, but outside of that, like he played really poorly. So I think if, you know, he can continue to be aggressive, you know, get to the basket instead of just settling for the three, I think, you know, that's absolutely a game changer for them as well. And Derek White, I think, is another person, because he's had a phenomenal playoff run so far as well. And like defensively, he is not a liability either. I've actually seen him play some really, really good defense in these playoffs. So I think him, absolutely, he's been cooking, especially from the three. Like he's just been hitting shot after shot after shot. So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I think it's exciting, because I do think both of these teams, matchup wise, I think matchup kind of better than like any team so far they've each faced in these playoff series so far. So it's going to be, yeah, really, really interesting to see these finals. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I do think for the Celtics, just to make it quick, I do think maybe Pritchard, he might have to have like big games, especially shooting from three. I do think he has that ability to shoot from three, and they might rely on him in moments. Who knows if like players get in foul trouble and things like that. So, and then for Dallas, I'm not sure how many minutes Lively will be playing. So maybe maybe we'll have like Gafford. I know they don't really play the same position technically. Like Gafford's a center and Lively's a power forward, but when they play small ball, they can just switch. So maybe Gafford playing huge minutes, because he did have some big minutes in, was it game five? So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll I think they've, throughout these playoffs, they've been kind of playing even minutes. But
yeah,
then Gafford or Lively went out. I don't think he played game five because he had that neck sprain. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, why obviously Gafford played a little more. But pretty much through the whole playoff series, they've been kind of splitting their minutes. But it'll be interesting to see, yeah, like who kind of steps up in that role. But they've both been equally really, really good for the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah, exactly.
Like, all you need is, like, from your center is, like, if Luka is, like, making plays for you, just, like, to hit your layups, to hit your dunks, things like, that makes a huge difference. Missed shots, like, easy shots, always, like, you'll look back and you're like, man, if that layup went in, if that dunk went in. So if players like Gafford can step up for the Mavs. And, again, I'm not sure if Lively will be playing minutes because it was a pretty nasty injury. I don't even know if he was checked for concussion or anything like that. Hopefully he was, and he's not playing on some injury or something. That would be very scary. But yeah, I think Gafford, and then for the Celtics, Pritchard would make a difference, especially with his 3-point shooting.
I like that. I like that. I like all your choices. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go with PJ Washington. I just don't think he's a household name. And by what I mean by breakout stars is, we all know the so-called casual audience, they don't watch basketball on the regular, and they're going to be actually be watching these teams for their first or second time because they're going to be watching the NBA finals. And so then what I mean by breakout stars, they become somewhat, not necessarily household names, but yeah, the casual fan will now know who they are. And so, yeah, PJ Washington is going to be someone who's going to be appreciated by many, just seeing what he does on both ends of the floor. And then for Boston, yeah, Derek White. It's like he's arguably their most consistent player on both ends of the floor. So we'll see what happens with that. And then with Peyton Pritchard, it'll be interesting to see who Dallas puts on him when it comes time where their benches are going to be facing each other, either Jaden Hardy or Josh Green, excuse me. And that'll be an interesting battle. And we'll see if they could lessen Peyton Pritchard's offense. He's so good at shooting the corner three and just being a nice floor manager for them. So, yeah, this series is going to be interesting. I look forward to it. Who's going to be the NBA Finals MVP?
I mean, as much as – because I've seen, like, flashes of Boston, like obviously they've been like really, really good all season, but I've also seen they're a team that kind of lives and dies by the three as well. So if they're not having a great 3-point shooting night, that's where that would kind of like, you know, be like, oh, okay. But with Dallas, like they just have so many different aspects to the game where like even if they're not hitting from three, like you have Kyrie who can just absolutely destroy you from the mid-range. So I mean, if we're picking a finals MVP, like obviously it's going to be the winning team, but I think it's probably going to be Luka, unfortunately, as much as I like want to vomit when I say that, because I literally said like not long ago, I didn't think Luka will ever win an NBA championship, and I could be eating my words here very, very soon. But yeah, as much as I hate to admit it, I think Luka would be the MVP.
Yeah, I do agree with that. If the Celtics win, I think he's just been on a heater, so I do think Jaylen Brown would probably win us finals MVP if the Celtics win. But if Dallas wins, yeah, Luka. He's been another player just on a heater, and he's definitely going to take the load for the Mavs. So I do see him winning finals MVP for them.
Yeah, I feel like the people who decide it do like they do tend to go with the big names.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm all about the story. So I think for the Celtics, I'll say Derek White. And for the Mavs, I want to see the story of the redemption arc. I don't care how you feel about Kyrie Irving, if he said the earth was flat or whatever. I'm not even going to touch the anti-vaxxer thing. He's grown. He said he has grown since then. When I look at him, when I watch him, I'm getting that vibe as well. He's grown and he's evolved since those days where he was just always in the headlines for the wrong reasons. And I have no problem with him saging the court personally. I sage my house myself, so it is what it is. So yeah, on the Mavs end, Kyrie Irving, Boston end, Derek White. What are your predictions?
Yeah, as much as I hate to admit it, I just think with Dallas, like, their run so far to the finals has been impressive. They've been the only other team, I saw the stat, besides the 2010 Lakers, that have beat 350-plus win teams to get to the NBA Finals. And yes, you can say, like, the Clippers were, you know, not at 100%. And then OKC was obviously very young. And then, you know, Minnesota just, like, did not have a good series at all. But it's still very impressive when you think about, you know, what each of those teams had done, you know, throughout the regular season and then, you know, things like that. So as much as I hate to admit it, I think the way Dallas has played, I just think they have an edge over the Celtics, but I hope, I hope I'm wrong. I think the Mavs are going to win. I want the Celtics to win.
So what do you got? Mavs in what, seven? What are you saying, Liz?
I think it's either going to be a 6 or 7 game series. Like, I don't think we're going to see a 5 game series that was just like last season. Like, I'm sorry, like, as incredible as a run as Miami had last year, like, there was no way they were beating Denver at all, like, not even close. So the finals last year were like a really big disappointment. Obviously, I was really happy for Denver, you know, a smaller market, Coach Malone, things like that. But I think this series, the teams kind of provide different things and they all have really, really good talent, especially really good supporting cast. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a really good series. So I would say 6 or 7 games.
So, but gun to your head, 6 or 7.
I would say 7,
yeah. Okay. Naima?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, I actually think the Celtics have like a better chance only because I think they have better depth. And their starting lineup has more scorers. So that's the only reason why two reasons why I think that the Celtics will actually win the finals. They're just, and they're really good defensively. Like, Dale, you were mentioning that, did you say 3 players were averaging 3 deflections per game? So I think that's too, but then again, I said the same thing about Minnesota's defense stepping up and winning in 7 and that didn't happen at all. So again, anything is possible in these finals. But I, from what I've seen, I'm like, yeah, I think the Celtics will probably win in six. Yeah, that's my prediction.
My brain says Celtics. I'm not done yet. My brain says Celtics only because they've been so dominant. They have the experience, right? And I think with a healthy Porzingis, oh man, they're just tough to beat. But again, I do believe that iron sharpens iron. So the Mavs are just battle tested, whereas the Celtics have just gone through injured team after injured team in the playoffs, right? And I don't like that. They beat a Pacers team that didn't have Tyrese for half the time. They were injured. They beat a Cleveland team that didn't have Jared Allen, and so on. Whereas Dallas, they beat Denver. They beat Minnesota. Wait, no, they beat, who did they beat?
OKC.
They beat OKC, who was fully loaded.
Clippers.
They beat Minnesota, who was fully loaded. I think that says a lot to me. I don't know. I believe in destiny, right? So, yeah, I'm going to say Dallas in six just because of vibes. They just seem like a team on a roll.
Yeah, they really do, unfortunately. And it makes me sick because I've just never liked Dallas just because watching Dirk Nowitzki year after year just absolutely obliterate us on his, you know, jump shot. That just always leaves a sour taste in my mouth. And then obviously watching Luka just do what he does, it kind of stings a little bit. But yeah, I think just with their like 1-2 punch, I think they've proven more to me than the Celtics 1-2 punch. But again, as Naima said, the depth of the Celtics is better than the depth of Dallas. So I think Kristaps Porzingis could potentially be like one of those guys too. If he can come back off of injury, he's probably going to be a little rusty, but if he can provide, you know, just like 75% of what he was providing during the regular season, he might be that game changer for them. And I don't know defensively if Dallas can stop that necessarily. And then I think if the Celtics could potentially, you know, defensively, if they can get like Gafford and Lively out of their spots, because they've been absolutely killer in that dunker position. But if I've seen them, if they kind of get them in that pick and roll position, that's not their strong suit at all. I've seen them constantly turn the ball over, travel, make a bad pass, make a decision too late. So if they can kind of get those guys in that pick and roll situation on the defensive end, then they might have a little bit of edge there. But again, I think it is going to be a really, really good playoff series. I don't think we're going to see a situation, because I was shocked, you know, with how the Timberwolves and Mavs series went. I thought it, you know, at least it was like going to go to a game six. I was really surprised it only went to game five. But yeah, I just think we're in for a really, really good NBA finals. Again, if everyone stays healthy, that is crucial, because if a guy like Luka goes down, that's obviously going to hinder a lot of things. I mean, you can still have Kyrie Cook, but then I think it would just change the trajectory of everything. But yeah, if everyone stays healthy, I still give it to the Mavs, but I think the Celtics have a really, really good shot at beating them as well.
Well, Horford shoots threes, especially from the corner. So I feel like he's going to draw them out, draw Lively and or Gafford out from the paint. So the lane's going to be clear, or their wings, or whoever, to do their work. So, yeah, that'll be really interesting. The Lively get cleared from the dunker area, from the restricted area, and the lanes are going to be open for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown or whoever to get in there. That's going to be interesting for sure. So, moving on to the WNBA. Week 3. We already know it's been, you know, I can't even think of a better word, a more appropriate word, but I'm sorry, it's been a shit show as far as the coverage has been, as far as the coverage is concerned. What do you think?
Oh my goodness. Daly, you don't understand. Like, as someone who's like watched the WNBA for like 10 plus years and like always wanted like the game to grow and obviously more people in seats, more eyes on the game and everything, I'm not sure this is how I expected it to go, because it's very unfortunate the discourse we have seen around the WNBA, like just most like disgusting, vile things that I've seen on Twitter. And I try not to like comment on it, especially on social media, because I'm like, I know a lot of it is just engagement farming and people with blue checks trying to get their money, whether it be $5, what they get off of it. But it's just, I'm just so disappointed, because I'm like, I wanted the game to grow, but not like this, you know?
And yeah, I think it's just, it's disappointing just in regards to, you know, like how certain players are talked about, mm-hmm. And how, you know, certain like players are portrayed. It doesn't always make for like good conversation. And then obviously like the social media engagement aspect of it, you know, then you have people with like their crazy takes that obviously are doing it just for the engagement aspect. But yeah, it's kind of like put a damper, you know, on a lot of things when, you know, some of these players are getting covered. But yeah, I mean, the WNBA is definitely growing, which is awesome to see. But the way right now, like certain players are being talked about, again, kind of put like a damper on what's happening and how it's growing. So yeah, it's going to continue to be really interesting. Some of these like conversations that I've been hearing on some of these talk shows and things like that, is just like, what are we doing here? Like, you guys are making yourselves look absolutely silly for the way you guys are talking. But yeah, it's definitely really interesting, but kind of a bummer. But again, like the WNBA obviously is getting more views. The product is obviously a lot better, and then you have new teams coming into play. So I just think, hopefully it continues to grow, and then as it's growing, it just continues. The coverage definitely hopefully gets better, because right now it's not good.
And it just seems like the loudest voices in the room are from people that aren't even really watching. Mm-hmm. They don't even seem to be fans of women basketball, period. Mm-hmm. And so, but they're talking the loudest, which is what really sucks. Mm-hmm. But moving on from that, though, how should Caitlin Clark be covered in the media? I mean, should she be babied, or should be treated as an athlete? For me, I just feel like we should be talking about just how tough she is, just being fouled every game really hard. And then she keeps just getting back up and plays her game, and she doesn't necessarily complain about it. I love her perspective. She's like, I'm just happy to be playing. I'm still having a good time. To me, that's how she should be covered. But instead, I feel like people are like, well, she should be treated with kid gloves, so to speak. It's weird.
Yeah, I've never seen like a player talked about like this, where they're like, oh, you like, I think it was Nick Young who basically said like, oh, you shouldn't be like hurting your star play. I'm not sure if it was Nick Young, but I just saw a lot of people saying like, oh, this is hurting your league if you don't take it easy on Caitlin Clark and everything. And I just want to say that's so disrespectful to Caitlin Clark herself, because she is a competitive player. She wants to compete against these. She doesn't want anything easy. I feel like any great player wants to be challenged, and in order for them to get better, that challenge is a must, right? They must struggle, and it just happens, right? Like, Caitlin Clark is, you know, struggling. And I think it's because, well, not struggling per se, like she's having a terrible season or anything, but like last night when she was playing against, no, sorry, not last night, but the night before, playing against New York, you know, she was like 1-7. And it's just like, it's going to happen. She's a rookie. She's going to hit that wall. She's not going to shoot that well in a game. It happens. Great players have bad games all the time. But it's just this expectation that has been put on her. Since the beginning of the season, I think people, her fans in particular, expected her to come in this league and to average like 30-10 like she was in college. And I just think it's just like, you guys haven't actually watched the league if you really believed a rookie was going to come in and like drop those numbers. I understand you think Caitlin Clark's special, and she is, but it's like, please put respect on this league and the actual players in this league, because like that kind of stat line has literally never happened in the history of the WNBA. So yeah, I think the way she should be covered is just the way every other player should be covered, right? With respect, nothing like, don't coddle her. There's like, I don't understand that aspect at all. And for people that should be, that are saying like, oh, WNBA players should be grateful for Caitlin Clark because she's bringing this and she's bringing that. I understand she brings more eyes to the WNBA. Absolutely. That's amazing. But again, these women are competitors. You would never expect a man to thank another man because they're bringing more eyes to the game. Like, that's never happened ever in the history of men's sports. So for people to say that about women, I just think that's just misogynistic, in my opinion, saying like, oh, you're jealous of Clark. No, again, it's just these women are competitive. Of course, they're not going to want to see Caitlin Clark, like, you know, in the aspects of the actual game to win, because they're wanting to win. They're competing. They want, you know, their team to win. So all in all, I'm just like, just be like, for real. Like, I don't know how else to say, but just be real in how you're reporting it, and stop trying to make it seem like Caitlin Clark wants to be coddled by the media or by, you know, other players. Like, just treat her normally. It's just actually very strange the way she has been covered by certain like, you know, media and certain people that claim to be fans, but that's honestly, to me, hard to believe.
Well, it's just it's weird to me how, you know, like you said, like, they, you know, people should go easy on her. And it's like, mm-hmm. No, every player in any professional sport should be covered the exact same. When they're playing good, they're playing good. When they're not playing so good, they deserve the criticism. And then when it comes to the physicality that is being played, you know, like, that's just going to happen in any sport. And if you can't handle physicality, and she can, I mean, she's been getting fouled pretty hard in some games, and she just gets back up, and yeah, she may complain to the refs and, you know, talk or whatever, but she still continues to go. She can still continues to compete and keep playing. Like, she probably knew coming into this league that she was going to deal with more physicality. That's just how it is when you move to another level in a sport. What is not okay is, you know, I think what happened the other night when they were playing, or, you know, the other day when they're playing the Chicago Sky, that type of stuff is absolutely unnecessary. You, like, if she doesn't have the ball in her hands before even inbounding, there's no reason. Like, people could say she flopped or whatever case happened. Like, there's no reason for that type of stuff in the NBA. If she had the ball in her hands, I'm okay with a little bit of a hard foul. I get it, but she didn't even have the dang ball in her hands. So that portion was a little crazy. I'm like, okay, we can, like, not do those kinds of things. Like, those kind of cheap shots we've watched in, you know, professional sports year in and year out. And some of that stuff is just not necessary, but I'm okay with the physicality that she's getting. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with the hard fouls that she's getting, because that's just what's going to happen when you move up a level in any sport. And now mm-hmm. you're in the big leagues, you're with the big dogs, and you're playing with a boatload of talent that has been in the WNBA for many, many years. And yes, now obviously it's getting more coverage. And yes, like, she is bringing more eyes to the game with what she did in college, but now it's kind of showing, like, hey, the WNBA has not been a joke for, you know, years now, but people are just now wanting to take notice because mm-hmm. one certain person. And I don't think she wants that attention. She doesn't want to be praised for, you know, all of this and, you know, da da da. She just wants to go in, do her job, play the game that she loves, and that's it. She doesn't want to, you know, be the face. I don't think she wants to be the face of the league. I'll put it at that. Like, I think she's, like, kind of tired of, like, you know, the media around her. Probably pretty sure she probably doesn't even check social media because of the craziness. But yeah, just some of, like, that hard foul with the Chicago Sky the other day, I think that stuff was absolutely unnecessary. But other things that have happened, I'm okay with. But yeah, some of it has just been crazy. The way they talk about some of these players is just definitely different. But yeah, she should not be coddled too. She should not be babied. She's not a baby. She's a grown woman, you know, mm-hmm. coming into a league, and she knew what she was getting herself into. And again, she has continued to compete. She hasn't, You know, she does complain to the refs a little bit, but
that's her thing.
Yeah, but what player doesn't in the league? I'm sorry. Like, pretty much every player complains to the refs nowadays because they kind of, and especially certain players, they get away with it in today's, you know, professional sports. But yeah, I don't think she wants, you know, to be babied or be, you know, looked at a certain way because of who she is. Like, she knew what she was getting herself into when she came into the league.
And I almost want to go ahead.
No, I was just going
to... Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Mention one thing, Liz, about like that Kennedy foul. That's not like a whole like representation of what the WNBA is like. Not every player. The reason why obviously it was plastered everywhere is because it was on Caitlin Clark. Like, let's be real here. If it was any other player, it would not be the first thing First Take talks about in the morning. That's for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because Angel Reese got choke slammed by Alyssa Thomas.
If anything, exactly. That was worse.
Literally. Yeah, no, that was worse, rightfully so, Alyssa Thomas got ejected for that game, right? Like, no one is going to stand for that. But it was not covered like it was where, you know, Kennedy, like, sheep shotted her, you know, in the stomach and she fell. I do agree it should have been flagrant during the game. However, they obviously upgraded it for the next, literally the next like day or the week, the day after that. So I just want to see, it's not a full representation of what the league is. It's just a physical, like the W, again, I've been watching it for over a decade now. And it's just like the league has always been physical. Like this game against Phoenix Storm, like literally happening right now. Skylar got like elbowed in the face and she was bleeding. It's just a physical game. It's just how the WNBA is. I feel like a lot of sports are like that too. Sometimes it gets a little rough. And you know, I feel like people enjoy that little bit of like feistiness from players as well. So it was just strange seeing the uproar. It was very strange. And like people being actually racist towards like these Black women in this league on behalf of Caitlin Clark. But again, that's a whole different conversation. But it's so weird seeing people talk about these players like this. It's disgusting, but like if you're an actual fan, you would understand, hey, like this is just basketball, and can we actually go back to the basketball and talk about how great certain players are playing and who's in the MVP conversation, who's going to be, you know, a contender in the league, things like that, instead of, oh, that whatever that was is because of this and that. Like, let's move on, please.
And these tough fouls, these hard plays, you're not going to let up anytime soon.
No.
This season, I almost want to skip the season two of Caitlin Clark because then it won't be a thing.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, all these tough fouls and hard plays are not going to be happening to Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark in year two. It's just because they were those girls coming in. And so they have a target on their head, unfortunately. And honestly, I think the media should just flip the script on it. It's like, because these tough fouls aren't going to let up, just talk about how tough they are. Talk about how Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and any other rookie just gets back up and continues to play and doesn't complain. I think that would be amazing. And then not only that, somebody said great players do have bad games. They're going to have bad games, especially when their team isn't optimal. I'm sorry, but the Fever are tough.
They're not a good team.
To watch.
They are so bad.
Oh, my God.
They're not a good team.
It bothers me. I do want to shout out, though, as the games have been going on, it looks like Caitlin Clark and Kelsey Mitchell have a little bit of a chemistry going on. Mm-hmm. I feel like Kelsey Mitchell is the only player on the Fever that actually can catch a Caitlin Clark outlet pass or bounce pass or entry pass and get an easy bucket or hit the layup after she receives a pass from Caitlin Clark. So shout out to Kelsey Mitchell for actually building something with Caitlin, because, oh man, Caitlin would probably have 11 or 12 assists if her players could actually just hold on to the goddamn ball.
Yeah.
Super frustrating.
That's what would give me a headache. Like, I get it. You know, you're on a new team. You got to develop, you know, the chemistry with players and things like that. Like, I 100% get it. But like, when your point guard gives you passes like that and you just like smoke an easy shot like that, my mind would like explode, because I'm like, oh my God, like, we are professionals. Like, I get it. People miss shots. That happens. But sometimes when it's like point blank, and especially this happens in the NBA too, all the time, I'm like, how did you miss that? Like, you were wide open. You just had to dunk the ball or whatever. And you decided to do this, this, or this. So it's like, sometimes these players make it like harder than it has to be in these situations. But yeah, absolutely. Like, and I think, you know, obviously, yes, like, the Fever didn't have back-to-back number one picks for no reason. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a secret that they've been back. Exactly. So it's like, you know, it's, they're going to have that growing pains, those, the, you know, the growing period. And I, you know, personally, to me, I don't think Christy Sides is going to get it done as a head coach of that team, just what she's done so far. I mean, she's been better in some situations, but a lot of other situations, she has not been great. But it is going to be interesting. But I think, yes, as Caitlin Clark comes in the league, you know, she's got to develop that chemistry with the team. And then obviously she's got to adjust to the way, you know, the game's being played. And again, it's going to be way more physical than she's experienced in any level of basketball that she's played so far. So that's an adjustment period for her. She's going to have those tough stretches. But even so, with those tough stretches, she's, you know, doing what only one other player in the WNBA has done, and that's Sabrina Ionescu. So it's like, she's still doing good things, but if she can continue to adjust and get better, it's going to be, you know, really, really fun to watch as her, you know, WNBA career continues to go. But again, there is other talent in the WNBA, not just her, that needs to not be overlooked as well. You know, there's definitely, you know, obviously before the season, there, you know, everyone's like, oh, are the Aces just going to walk back to the finals again? No, it's different this year. Like, there is a lot of talent in the WNBA. There's other teams that are freaking stepping up and playing some really damn good basketball right now. So it's going to be really interesting. Again, with the league growing, with these new teams coming in years to come as well, it's going to be really, really exciting to, you know, continue to watch these teams grow.
So, Naima, I want to ask you, is Connecticut the real deal?
Look, Connecticut, the thing about Connecticut is, like, they've always been a really good team. Like, if I'm not mistaken, they've literally finished like top four the past like 3+ years. They just either lose in the semifinals or lose in the finals. So it's so hard, like, to believe in a team that just continuously loses during the most clutch moments. It's just hard to watch, right? Not for me though, because I don't like even though I'm a UConn fan, like Connecticut Sun, they're not my team. Minnesota is. But yeah, I think this might be the year for them if they have all these healthy players now, because last year they were missing Bree Jones, their starting center, and that was really tough for them. You know, so I won't count them out, but I also, on the other side, I'm like, we've seen this like story before where Connecticut leads the league and literally wins, but then loses in the finals because they're just not good in clutch time. They're just not a good team when it comes to clutch time. And it seems like the opposing team always buries them during those moments. So maybe this is their year. So I'm a hold off to saying if they can win the championship, but I do think if any of the, out of all the years that they have been to the semifinals of the WNBAs, because they in the WNBA, there's no conference anymore, like Western Conference, Eastern Conference finals. So it literally just goes to whoever's the highest seeds and then they play each other. So, I do think they'll probably make the semifinals, maybe even the finals, but again, I just have to see this team gel together more. Not gel, because I think they do have the best chemistry in the WNBA right now. They also have played a favorable schedule, in my opinion. Out of the 9 games they have played so far, they are undefeated. They just beat the Mystics this game. They've also played at home 6 of those 9 games, and they've also played lower half teams. So they've played Chicago, they've played the Mystics, they've played Indiana twice, I believe. And all those teams are literally below the playoff line at like number 9 or below. So again, a favorable schedule. And I understand you just have to beat whoever's in front of you. But yeah, Connecticut must do it before I call them the real deal.
Right. And before we go, as far as the Commissioner's Cup is concerned, is the weight of that kind of more like the IST, the in-season tournament in the NBA? Is it a big deal? Does the winner usually go on and go deep in the playoffs at the end of the season? What's going on here?
You know what? I think the past winners, they've actually made the finals. I don't know if they've won it. But like last year, New York won it, and then they lost in the finals. And then the year before, I think the Aces won it, and then they won the championship. So yeah, the thing about this year is though, they're only playing 5 Commissioner Cup games, and it actually is similar to the NBA IST. I mean, Commissioner Cup actually was in existence before the NBA's highest in-season tournament, but it's honestly the same thing. They just have different names for it. So yeah, it's just 5 games this year because of the Olympics. So they're just playing a very condensed season, and the schedule is very like back-to-back. I was actually going to mention earlier about the Indiana Fever, the fact that they've played like how many games now? Like 11 already.
Yeah, they played 11. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And like 2 back-to-backs. And like
2 back-to-backs. And a lot of them have been on the road. So I think that's also a reason that contributes to their bad record is like they just haven't had time to practice with each other as much as they'd like, especially with a new team. So back to the whole Commissioner's Cup. I do think that it is pretty indicative of who will make the finals, like from previous years, yes. But this one, this year in particular, not really, because it's only 5 games. Like a bad team can get lucky and win like 4 games out of 5 and then try to make the Commissioner Cup final because it's whoever on the East Coast wins the most amount of games on the East Coast, and then whoever wins the most amount of games on the West Coast, and then they play each other, which I'm very interested about the tiebreaker, because the fact that it's only 5 games, there's probably going to be a case of like what is the tiebreak situation going to happen, because I know it's by points, and it's the same thing in the IST for the NBA, so should be interesting how this goes, because again, 5 games, not a whole lot, so...
And back to the fever, though, they do have a 5-day rest. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's enough time to practice and to get some of their bearings. And we'll see if there's a difference in play after this break.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely will help them. The rest will help them, first of all, and then the practices will also help as well. And yeah, like we were saying earlier, the Fever are really tough to watch. And I've actually watched probably more Fever games than I've ever watched in my life this season. Because we usually watch, you know what, I like watching the WNBA, so I try to tune in whenever I can. And then Indiana Fever games have actually been on broadcast, like ESPN or CBS and things like that, SN. So, yeah, I've watched a lot of Fever games. But, yeah, hopefully they can get it together. I think Caitlin Clark winning is also good for the league. So, yeah, we'll see.
I'll tell and you, also, YouTube, real quick, YouTube TV and WNBA, like, League Pass is a godsend. Like, I will, because you can watch like multiple games at once. Like, if they have two games, you can put two games. If they have four games, you can do all four games.
Mm-hmm.
So that is that's definitely a godsend, because then you can put every game on at once and just watch every single game, all mm-hmm. the coverage. It's great. It's really great.
And I hope the Minnesota Lynx actually blow out some teams so I could get some Elisa Pille on my screen.
Yes. Did you see her game the other
night?
Yeah.
No, that was wonderful. Phoenix?
That was so
doing everything that she did in college, and I was happy to see it. So,
yeah, another team, Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota has been really, like, I've been really impressed. Like, the off season, I was like, okay, like the acquisitions we got, I'm like, okay, these are good players. I want to see how they're gonna fit in the system. And honestly, they could have not fit any better. And that's just a testament to like Lynx, the head coach, like Cheryl Reeve, and their coaching staff. And then also the GM for bringing in these players and understanding like the fit for each player on this team. And, you know, Nafisa Collier stepping up again, having an MVP like season, Kayla McBride as well, like the two leaders, the two captains. So yeah, it's good to see as a Lynx fan. But I hope Pille gets more minutes for sure. She's so much fun to watch.
Oh man, she's one of my favorite players for sure. All right, so again, just talking about the NBA Finals again. Liz says Mavs in seven. You said Mavs in seven, I believe.
Yes.
Naima said Celtics in six.
Yep.
I say Mavs in six. We'll see if that happens. Thank you everybody for listening. Again, feel free to subscribe. That helps the algorithm. Thank you for making us part of your day. Good day, good night, and light the beam.
Good night,
thanks, y'all. I really appreciate it. Have a good night.
You too.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Hey, go-getters. Let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime. With 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients, Noom should be your go-to hydration choice. Because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on NoomLife.com and get ready for endless fun, because anything can happen after noon.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.